John's dad wanted him to become a lawyer. When he started elementary school, John was a really smart kid. Everybody knew that. He got really good grades. And so when he was accepted into a very elite university as a college freshman, he decided that he was going to get really good grades. He was going to have summa cum laude every single semester, top honors. He wanted to be the best in his class. And so as a college student, college freshman, he studied 10, 11, usually 12 hours every single day. He oftentimes isolated himself from other people. His goal was to get the best grades possible. At the end of the first semester, John received his grade report. And John was absolutely crushed. He had gotten decent grades, actually really good grades, but grades that weren't good enough for John. He wasn't the top in the class. There was a few people, just a few, who had scored better than him. And so he was absolutely disappointed. He felt like his life was completely falling apart. Later on in his life, John would write about that time. He'd talk about that time and explain that that was actually a really crucial moment in life. It taught him a really important lesson. He realized that he had this very strong streak of perfectionism in his life. And that was motivating a lot of his decisions, along with his desire not to disappoint anyone. You see, part of the motivation behind trying to be the top in his class were his parents. They were going through a really tough time financially. His dad had just lost his job. So he was trying to give them something to be excited about, something to be proud about. He realized in that moment that doing everything just to make his parents be happy was not a good way to live. See, eventually he got up the courage to tell his dad he didn't want to become a lawyer either. He wanted to become a university professor, which he did and became really successful at. His articles were getting published. His classes were full of students. Again, for a perfectionist, this was not necessarily the most healthy environment for him. He had to fight the urge to try to make his academic and professional success into the most important thing in his life. He really enjoyed the affirmation he was getting from everyone. As a people pleaser, it's what he really thrived on. But he tried and tried to fight against that. Because he got at a certain moment in his life, a crucial turning point, when he knew he had to make a decision that other people would not appreciate, other people would think was foolish. It was the decision to become a Catholic, and then eventually to become a Catholic priest. His colleagues thought he was absolutely ridiculous for making this decision, a smart man like him. But he did it anyways, because with what God was asking him to do, was God's plan for him to become a saint. This past month, your parish has been celebrating this saint, St. John Henry Newman, as Pope Francis just canonized him a couple Sundays ago. I thought of that early time of his college career, that first semester, when his life he thought was completely falling apart. The pressure he put on himself, the stress he went through, as he tried to make his parents happy, as he tried to be the perfect student. And so I was reflecting upon this weekend's readings, which give us a few lessons about the dangers of perfectionism in our spiritual life, and along with that, that desire to try to make everyone else happy. The first lesson is that perfectionism is a real danger for our spiritual journey. That needs to be said because in most other areas of life, perfectionism is actually applauded. It's affirmed. It's promoted. When we're working hard in our careers and we're working harder than everybody else, usually our boss notices that. We're the one who gets the promotion. When it's sports, the arts, or music, when we're dedicated, when we're focused, when we make that the center of everything we do, the coaches are happy. Our mentors are encouraging us. They're excited by the progress we're making in that area of our life. The danger spiritually, though, is we can make that success into an idol. Our success in whatever area of life we're dedicated to, that can become something that we become fixated on. We can even become kind of bullies, kind of pushy people, pushing to get what we want, whether it's in our careers or whether it's in sports or whatever. We kind of run all over everybody else. Become too competitive to the point of not even worrying about playing fair so that we can get what we want. Working hard is a good thing. Commitment's a really good thing as well. But it's a problem we've made the wrong thing into our most important priority. As they're making decisions going through life, we should ask the question, what will other people think of this? We should ask the question, how can we be successful? Really, the most important question needs to be, what does God want me to do in this situation? And unless we're asking that question, then sometimes we need to look at our priorities and rearrange them. The Pharisees we heard about in today's gospel are a great example of someone who made their success into an idol. The Pharisees love to be perfect. They love to be known as being morally perfect. And they went around spending all of their energy maintaining that perfection in the eyes of people. But of course, at a certain point, they felt threatened by Jesus because he was better than they were. They realized that perhaps they weren't as perfect as they thought they were, and they were wondering if other people would see that in them as well, and they became very, very unstable. They lacked self-confidence and became very anxious, and it led them to do all kinds of very vicious, hateful, and prideful things, including colluding to put Jesus, this itinerant preacher, to death. Did you notice the prayer of the Pharisee today? It was actually, I think, meant to be kind of a funny moment as we're reading the gospel today. He went to the temple not to worship God, not to talk to God about his needs or the needs of other people, but he went to the temple and he talked to himself about himself. He didn't worship in the temple. He talked to God about how great he was and how he was better than all these other scumbags that were around the temple around him. As he talked to himself about himself, perfectionism can get in the way of us getting close to God and even directing our attention towards God and what God wants us to do. A second lesson about perfectionism and its danger in the spiritual life is that it is an obstacle to true growth and change in our life. Throughout Luke's gospel, the Pharisees play a pretty big role. If you look through the chapters, how often they appear, it's almost every single chapter they're showing up. And the same thing with the tax collectors. They're in almost every or every other chapter of Luke's gospel. And the Pharisees throughout that remain stubborn, they remain arrogant, they remain self-centered and just hanging on tightly their vision of life, their plan for the future, and their own idea of what perfectionism or perfection should be. Whereas the tax collectors do the complete opposite. When they spend time with Jesus, they change. They became more generous, more caring towards the poor. They become more genuine in their prayer. Next weekend, you'll hear about Zacchaeus, this guy who just after a couple hours with Jesus completely rearranges his life priorities, gives a bunch of stuff to the poor, and is really dedicated to God and keeping the commandments. The tax collectors were open to change. The Pharisees stubbornly hung on to their own plan of life. St. John Henry Newman once said, I've shared this quote I know here before, to live is to change, and to be perfect is to change often. To live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often. Being open to God changing us, transforming us, molding us, is the true kind of perfection God desires for us. The Pharisees were stubbornly hanging on to their plan and not allowing God to mold them. And the way Jesus was trying to show them what true, perfect love looked like that they were supposed to live. One third and final lesson about perfectionism from readings today. It's about those moments in our life when our life seems to completely fall apart. That moment that John Henry Newman had his first semester at Oxford, when what he had worked so hard for in his own mind turned out to be a complete disaster. He felt like he was a complete failure in that moment. There's moments when the world as we know it seems to have crumbled around us. I think about moments when perhaps a student fails a quiz they worked really hard on. Or perhaps even a bigger test, like the GRE, not getting as good enough a score to get in the school we wanted to. Perhaps a moment when a long-term relationship suddenly ends. Perhaps when a family member is diagnosed with a serious mental or physical illness. These moments when we're absolutely crushed and devastated. They can be powerful moments when God can work in our life. Because we find ourselves like the tax collector in the gospel, on our knees, knowing that the life that we wanted is not going to happen, knowing that we're going to have to let go of our plan, we're not going to have everything we had worked so hard to achieve. And so in those moments, we are almost forced to entrust ourselves to God's mercy, the mercy that God desires to generously give to us. And we are forced to almost ask Him to lead us where He wants us to go, to accept His plan for our future, even if that wasn't necessarily what we had hoped life would look like for ourselves. It takes deep faith to pray to God in those moments, to kneel down in adoration and worship of God, knowing that we've had to let go of the plans we'd been worshiping and holding on to so tightly. As Director of Vocation, I invite you to join with me in praying this weekend, especially for the young people here, for our students, as they ponder their own futures. Many of them, like John Henry Newman, struggle with perfectionism. They put a lot of pressure on themselves, and sometimes their priorities can get out of order. They worry about what other people think about them and decisions they're making. They're trying to please a lot of different people, and sometimes the wrong people. Pray that they'll have the courage to open their hearts to where God's trying to lead them, to be willing to change, to be willing to change their path of life as God directs them and as God encourages them to go in the direction of His plan so they can show His perfect love to people in circumstances they might not have imagined finding themselves. Pray for those called to the priesthood and religious life, those called to Christian marriage, those called to the single life, that they'll have the faith to make a leap of faith and entrust their future entirely to God's providence. Last Sunday's gospel ended with one of those very profound lines of Scripture. When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? That was the last word, those were the last words Jesus spoke before today's gospel. Because to let go of our perfectionism, to let go of our control over everything, to let go of our obsession with other people think of us, requires deep faith. Tremendous faith. And that's the faith we pray for as we come here today. To live is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often.